Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello.
Hello.
How are you, my dear?
I'm fine. I was late.
Just a moment. Let me make an adjustment here. Hello, Kat?
Hi.
Yes, Blog Talk has suddenly given us new controls here. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting here. We can actually adjust the volume on the songs now. So that's what was happening. But I'm glad to talk to you this evening. And let's go ahead and welcome our listeners to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. Also brought to you by drkeone.com. You can find us online right there at that domain or congoroots.com. We're here to talk to you about voodoo, African American herbal magic, and how you can use it to ameliorate and remediate life issues such as love, career, success, finances, or what have you. And you'll speak with two of the finest practitioners in the business, Pat Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com, and myself, Dr. Bruce Socioni. We're here to help you, so why don't you pull up a chair, sit back and relax, and get ready to do the hoodoo with us here on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Bootwork Hour. Now, the phone number, if you care to call in, try to get in the queue, is 818-394-8535. That's 818-394-8535. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our good friend and colleague, Pat Ironwood, out at the Hogwarts of Hoodoo, the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. How you doing, Mama Cat?
I'm doing just fine. It's just been one of those weeks, but you know, we're rolling with it, and you know, we made it to the weekend in one piece. So hey, it's a good week.
Amen to that. I tell you,
too many things happening at once. You know, but we all just you know, you hit each emergency as it happens, and you deal with them. But Nagashiva's embarked in a huge project to revise the Lucky Mojo catalog pages and bring them up to date. Some of them have not been updated in 2 years. And I just want to send out a public thank you to my dear, dear husband for doing this work. He's really on it. And and I've decided to undertake a little project of my own, which is revising the Lucky Mojo forum layout. And the first thing I did, and what started me on this, was that I wanted the radio show to have its own sub-forum. So those of you who go to the forum and go to the board index, you will now find all the messages about the radio show in their own section, and that section is in the forum section that is called Hoodoo Rootwork and Conjure Community. And along with what's in community, along with the radio show, there's another sub-forum just on psychic readings and conjure consultations. And the other stuff is still there, the same as it always has been, hoodoo in the news and hoodoo in history, customer testimonials, and the ever-popular Ask for Help with Your Situation, which is probably the most popular sub-forum. But now these things have their own sections, so if you need to know about the radio show, now you know where to go. Go to the community section and you'll find it's right there.
I like that idea, the community section, and I might even emulate it. Kat, you always come up with some great ideas, and you're such a great organizer, and you have such a really great mind for, you know, strategizing and pulling this stuff off and getting people to work around you. I tell you, you're the dean of hoodoo, girl, and you're out to it.
Well, I'll tell you something about this, and thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's something about the way my mind actually works. When I was young, there was you'd read about different kind of careers, and I was told I did it like a it was one of those, what career would you be good at? There were two careers they said I would be good at: systems analyst and fireman. And at that time, there were no women. No, seriously, there were no women really allowed to be firemen. They called it fireman, and somehow I qualified as a fireman. And I asked them, my counselor, I said, why? And they said, well, apparently you're very good at handling emergencies.
And you do quite well.
So I've always considered myself, I figure no matter what I'm doing, I am both a fireman and a systems analyst. That's me in a nutshell.
I can attest, if you've ever been around Cat, which I have, and the Lucky Mojo curio company, you will see that she is a fireman and she puts out fires all day long. She's great at doing it. And starting a few.
Well, I want to wish everybody a happy Juneteenth. And Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth to everybody, and happy Father's Day too. And I'm hoping that Juneteenth gets made a national holiday. I know around here there's a lot of celebrations of Juneteenth because a lot of people in California come out of African American communities in Texas, which is where Juneteenth really started. And if you don't know about it, look it up. And I'm back in the move to make Juneteenth a national holiday.
Well, you know, Kat, that's a great idea, and I stand behind it. And Juneteenth, of course, is the time that when the slaves found out about their freedom, I believe, in Texas, et cetera.
In Texas, right? What it was they were emancipated, and they knew they were emancipated in all the other states, but Texas forgot to tell them. And Juneteenth was when someone from the Union Army finally entered Texas and said, what do you mean you're not free? You've been free for 2 years. And so that was called Juneteenth. And it's a big, big holiday in Texas, big holiday in California, in the East Bay, Oakland, and so forth, because there are so many people who moved up to San Francisco Bay Area from Texas, and they carry that Juneteenth with them. So we have big Juneteenth parties up here, too. And Father's Day and Juneteenth on the same day, that's a nice one.
Yeah, and today is my 35th, Mel's and my 35th wedding anniversary today as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
35
That's
years.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, someone in the chat room has just posted a link to a Wikipedia article on Juneteenth, so y'all can check that out. And so it's just a great little holiday, and it's about more than just the end to slavery. It's about telling the truth, and that's what's so important about it. You know, it's about don't hide the truth. So it's both at once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes,
so happy anniversary to you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth. All right. Well, the other thing I have to report is Ken from New York asked, is the shop painted yet? Oh, yeah, sure, in our dreams. The shop painting project, it's on cruise control. Let's just say it's on cruise control, and it'll get painted. I'm not gonna die before it gets painted. I'll tell you that. But we're still painting the shop.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you see the photo that I sent to you on Facebook?
Oh, probably not.
Hey, well, you.
I haven't been at Facebook in a few days.
See the photo I sent to you on Facebook. It's also uploaded at jujucentral.net on my profile page. It is the photo of our now functioning Munanso, the church, and we had our first official rituals and ceremonies in it this past weekend. This weekend, I'm saying past weekend. We're still currently in the weekend here. So Friday and yesterday. And I had to do some crossroads work early this morning pre-dawn, around, I guess it was 5:45 or 6 o'clock, to finish up everything. But it all went very, very, very well. And you will see the beautiful Tibetan Buddhist prayer flags gracing the eaves of the front porch of the church. And it just, and we burned frankincense and myrrh on the front porch along with, but we started with mfefo first. The mfefo is an African shrub that is used both to honor the ancestors. It is used to heighten psychic abilities and sensitivities. And it is also used to scatter dark spirits, or mueto, as we say. And so we began with that first inside of the temple, and then outside on the porch, and there's a little cauldron on the outside. Then we followed it up with frankincense and myrrh, and then we began our work. And we had some, of course, yes, there were some animal rituals that had to be done as a part of the work, but it was also very, very beautiful, also very, very, very sacred. And I wanted to share that photo with you.
Well, I'm looking at, I've actually,
part of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm actually open. I opened up another window and looked at Facebook while we were talking, and that is very nice. Very nice. Yeah.
We're very happy to be a part of the Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church, and as we are now making our associations formal, I'll say that, you know, here and announce it aloud, and all of our friends who are part of the Spiritualist Church of African Traditions will know this. And so we are looking forward to working with the Crystal Silence League. We've just received a beautiful, this thing must be about 30-pound crystal ball from me.
Yes, yes.
It is.
Isn't
beautiful.
Isn't that something?
It's like a bowling ball. It's huge.
It's bigger than a bowling ball, huh?
Yes.
Well, every church in the group gets their own very large crystal ball as part of the sort of linking us together through the Crystal Silence League. And I'm glad that arrived safe in one piece. Boy, that thing was heavy.
Mm-hmm. It's right here on the corner of my desk right now. It sure is. Yeah.
Wow.
So I wanted to share that with you and to share it with all of our callers and listeners, because the Spiritualist Church movement is a part of hoodoo and is a part of what we do. And so we want people to know that we are doing something. We don't have churches in name only. We are actually ministering to people. Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm gonna give a little to Nagashiva. If you can do this, can you capture that photo of Dr. Keone's church so that we can put it at the Crystal Silence League page of all the churches that are allied in the Crystal Silence League? I'd appreciate that, honey. Just say yes. All you got to do is type yes in the chat room. He does all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, I love this new Blog Talk interface, because now I can search by area codes very fast.
Oh, good.
I like this. Yes, I like this. So when you're ready, let's get Miss Tammy on.
All right.
Let's get into our calls here.
Yeah, Tammy Lee's waiting. Yeah.
I'm right here, and good afternoon, Dr. Keone and Miss Tat.
Hi, darling.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. Tammy Lee and I, we just talked yesterday, so this is, but nice to talk to you again, sweetheart.
Thank you so
all
much,
right.
And it's always a pleasure. And I just wanted to remind everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company and JujuCentral.net, and also Dr. Keone at drkeone.com. And our first caller, Dr. Keone, should be calling from area code 570.
570 is here in the queue. Just like that, I typed it in and they popped up. I love it.
Great.
There we are. Caller, are you here? Area code 570.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
hello?
Hold on, please. Tammy is going to tell us about your call. Miss Tammy.
Okay. Yes, sir, Dr. Keone and Miss Kat. This is Conjure Moon, who has signed up on the Lucky Mojo Forums and calling from Pennsylvania. And Conjure Moon writes that I'm a professional tarot card reader and am experiencing fogginess and vagueness. I was never taught in protection or other practices. I've been told by a few of my associates as a reader in the area, practiced in hoodoo, bragged she had a curse on me. She showed her a broom with twists and a nail with me in it. I'm also experiencing trouble in areas also now too. She also wants to add, she did sign up and apologizes that she was not in the show. She was disconnected. So she's just letting you all both know that.
That was back in May. Yeah, right. So Conjure Moon, also known at Blog Talk as Tara Maria Miller. That's her Blog Talk name, and she's in the chat room under that name. So hi, nice to talk to you, Conjure Moon.
Hi.
So this woman told you, she bragged that she had put a curse on you, and she showed another friend of yours, another female friend, a broom with twists in it and a nail. Did you get any better description than that?
No. Basically, it probably started a few years ago when I had a client of mine come, and she mentioned this female, you know, and she said, you know, Tara, I really care about you, and I think that you should know that this female is saying really, really bad things about you. And I, you know, because she went to this reader too, my client did, and she said, I'm not going to go to you anymore because I know these things aren't true that you're saying about Tara. I mean, she even told her I did drugs and I drank, and I don't even drink. I mean, I don't do anything. You know, I'm all holistic. I just take herbs. And, you know, she said that I, you know, all this bad stuff. So, like, a lot of my clients came to me, and so they actually stopped going to her because she was saying bad stuff. So, I mean, I did the stop gossip from Lucky Mojo. I stopped her from gossiping. But then someone came and they said that they went to her and she took a broom out and she said, that card reader in the area, look, I took care of her. And she said that it was really, really twisted, like it was twisted, and that there was nails in it. And she just had like my name in it with like a nail, I guess. That's all the lady,
wow,
my client saw, you know. But I do know she practiced,
wow,
hoodoo, I'm sorry.
Well, that kind of a spell is pretty serious. It could come out of a different tradition, and it doesn't matter so much what the tradition is. There are a lot of broom spells in hoodoo to brush people out of your life. Old famous song, I'm getting up soon in the morning, I believe I'll dust my broom. And that song is about being done with somebody. And there are spells in which you turn a broom upside down, or you can put salt and pepper in a broom, or you can put different powders like hot foot powder in a broom and sweep it on behind someone as they leave your house. So there are many, many broom spells in hoodoo. The twisting up of it sounds a little more European, perhaps like something more of a Wicca type. They work with brooms too. And so it's possible. Putting nails in it, that has a certain European quality, but it also could just as easily be hoodoo or from an African tradition because they also use nails. Putting your name in it with the nails also very likely could be either European, African, African American. So it doesn't seem it does seem like a curse, and the tradition it comes from is kind of open ended. It could be either one, but it sure sounds mean. And it sure sounds like a serious curse by someone who is a well-practiced practitioner. This isn't someone who just lit a candle and prayed that you'd go away. This is someone who tried to get you and nail you into a broom and then sweep you away. Very likely, they use the broom to sweep with on occasion to sweep you out of their lives. There's a similar spells that are also done with whips, where you can take someone's footprints and whip them, their footprints to whip them out of town. There are similar ones where you can take a long grapevine or honeysuckle vine and use that as a whip, and you just whip, and it's what's called cross-whipping, where you whip first from, you know, right to left and then left to right, like X's, and you whip across their path where they walk, or you whip across their footprints to get them out. All of these spells are serious, bad spells. So if it was seen, if this woman saw it, and it sounds dreadful, and it does sound like it was done to harm you very badly. So that, I don't think the question is, are you cursed? I think the question is, what are you going to do about it? All right?
I am really healthy. Like, I'm young and I'm healthy, and I had, like, kidney problems, like, out of nowhere, kidney stones. I had a lot of teeth problems, and I take, my teeth are well taken care of, and I'd have teeth fall out. Like, I'd bite something and break, like, a tooth, like, weird things. I don't know if that, it could be my mind, but.
No, I would say, let me put it this way. When someone tells me, well, it could all be in my mind, I will then throw cards, or Dr. K will throw cards, and we'll look down and say, well, is there a curse or not? If someone says, I saw the thing, we don't need to ask the question no more. See, now we're going to talk, and what you're describing, your teeth fall out, that's a real interesting one. I could tell you 6 different spells to make people's teeth fall out, and some of them use chicken shit. No kidding, I'm talking about poop from hens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And dog poop also. There's a number of things that can be done. I mean, that's a very common spell. Make people's teeth fall out. People laugh and say, ha ha, what, you know, that sounds stupid. But no, that's a real problem if you cause someone's teeth to fall out. It's also symbolic of wanting you to not have any kind of teeth to be able to backbite her or to get to gnaw on her bone. You know what I'm saying? To make someone toothless, to make them powerless. And people,
and I've become
literally
very submissive since then. I've been really afraid to talk to my clients. Like, I've been afraid, like, when I get a vision, like, I've been biting my tongue. I'm afraid, where I used to see things really clear. I used to see names of people, and I'm still an accurate card reader, but I used to see so much and say it, and now I find myself biting my tongue, and I'm like, oh, well, I shouldn't say it because maybe it's wrong. Like, I keep not, I feel like I'm seeing visions, and I can't explain to them what they are. Like, I can't, it's hard to explain. Like, I'll get a vision, but I can't anymore tell my client what I'm seeing. Like, it's blocking my throat almost.
Yeah. Well, you need some serious help, because you have been done. The nailing is to nail you down. You know what I'm saying? Nailing you into the broom and putting your name paper in there, all of that was done to nail up your powers. In a sense, the broom almost is like a doll baby. When you have a doll baby, it's traditional to put 13 needles into it, and into its eyes, into its ears, into its mouth, so forth, all the way down its body. 13 is the most common number used. So I would not be surprised if they'd used a certain number of nails and nailed you down into it and used the broom in somewhat like a doll. All right, so we know you've been done, and we know what the effects are now. Let's talk about what we can do about it. So, Dr. Keone, might as well start with you. Go for it and tell her, what would you do?
I would take a bath with the ashes of broom straw. Get a brand new broom and cut the straw. This has to be a straw broom. Cut the straw off of the broom and burn it into ashes. Rub your body down with it. Also, rub your body down with fiery wall or protection oil. And you do a bath. That's what I am hearing for you to do with this. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's another ingredient here that is trying to elude me, Kat. This is a fire spell, I know, besides the bath. She has to do fire as well. The 8 of wands is here. And all of these wands together, they look like the ends of a broom, you see,
mm-hmm.
gathered together
mm-hmm.
with fire mm-hmm. on them.
I'm wondering, you said the ashes of the broom, that's fire right there to burn that broom up. And I'm wondering, should something be done to hasten or accelerate that broom burning or added to it?
Well, that's where I was coming from, to add something to it to hasten its burning. My familiar says a pinch of sulfur, okay,
mm-hmm.
For the breaking and the reversing of that work.
That would work to me, too, because sulfur is very traditional for breaking curses through fire. So, yeah, take the – and, you know, in many of the reversing things, you'll find a little bit of sulfur. I just have to add a funny note about sulfur. So we put sulfur into some of our oils, which are oils of harm or of harm breaking, either one or the other. And one day somebody sent all these oils back and said, there's something wrong with your oils. They all have mold in them. And it was the sulfur powder that was in the oils. This person thought the oils were moldy. I've laughed about it. Every time I look at a beautifully made oil with sulfur, a little floor of sulfur powder along the bottom of that oil bottle with all the herbs in it, I always go, oh, yeah, mold. But, no, yeah, sulfur would be good. And you got to be careful when you're going to do that because sulfur will burn rather hot. I'm almost even thinking, too, that you might want to throw a little bit of fuel on the fire, probably in the way of some Florida water, something like that. Really let it go up in a whoosh, you know.
Raise it up,
raise it up a little bit. Don't put in too much Florida water. Your thing will be burning all night because that's the fuel and it all has to consume. Just a bit. But I think what you want to do is burn that stuff in an iron pot. Remember, we're talking about nails here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to set all that on fire in an iron pot. I'm even thinking maybe put some nails in, too. And then when you get all that stuff down, the ashes and everything, he wants you to take and then make a bath with that. And I would also then in the bath, I would add Epsom salts because Epsom salts, also known as run-out salts, they're a laxative, a natural laxative. When they're used in baths to remove and so then bathe yourself. But you're going to have to do this a few more times than once. This is a serious thing. In a spell like this, it's traditional that you go find that thing and break it and burn it. I'm also thinking you might want to put her and her broom in a mirror box or send her to hell in a mirror box. It's just bad. She's just bad. She's too bad, and she's too good at what she does. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have to. Now, the thing is, she sapped your will. Like you said, you're having a hard time actually even standing up for yourself. You've become submissive. You've been coming vague and foggy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereabouts do you live? You live in Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, and I live about a block from her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's bad. That's bad. All right. She has access to your place anytime she wants to.
Anytime she wants to.
And a graveyard is right next door.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
Right. What sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. That's what they always say. That means you can go get her footprints anytime. You can go get her stuff anytime, too. Right? So I want you to take some dirt, local dirt, and don't let it be from your yard, but get some dirt from her yard if you can. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Get some dirt from the graveyard, baby, because that's what I see right here.
And I want you to sprinkle it on her path, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to step in it. You're going to scrape that dirt back up with her footprints in it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want you to use that dirt, because now you've got her footprints. Do you have a picture of her? Can you get her photo off of Facebook or anything?
No, she's probably in her 80s, so she doesn't go on that. And I know she goes away because she goes to Haiti a lot, so she's like gone. I know she goes a lot. She goes to Haiti a lot, and she's like in her 80s.
Okay, so you have no picture of her, though. All right, but you
know
her name.
I have her name, but no picture, no.
All right. All right, well, you're going to try to get her footprints. You're certainly going to get her name, and you're going to make a doll on her. You know how to make a doll?
Yes.
Out of cloth, all right. If you can, when she sets her garbage out, you might want to go through her garbage and see if you can find anything useful. But she's probably too wise and smart to put her hair from her hairbrush in her garbage. But, you know, if she does, you've got her hair. But you want to make a doll on her, and you're going to take that doll and you're going to tie its little hands behind its back. You're going to tie its little feet together, and then you're going to tie its little hands to its little feet. And then you're going to use your 13 needles, and you're going to start with her eyes, and you're going to start with, you know, you can no longer see me, and in each eye, and in her ears, you can no longer hear anything about me, you know, and in her mouth, you can no longer speak ill of me, and so forth, and so on, all the way down her body until you have her, done. And then put that little doll into a box made of mirrors or lined with mirrors. If you can't make a mirror box yourself, We do have Robin Peterson, our shop manager, makes the most beautiful mirror boxes on earth, and you can ask for one. You want the one you want, ask her for one of those mirror boxes that has the picture of the lady tied and bound and blindfolded on top of the mirror box. That's exactly what it's used for. And then put her in there, and in it you're going to put a bunch of sulfur. You're going to put in some of that the dirt of her footsteps if you can, some blackberry leaves or cactus spines. You're going to put in hot red peppers and so forth. Put it in the mirror box. Tie it closed. Work by the light of a black candle. Seal it. Tie it closed like a package, like a parcel. Pour black candle wax on it and take it to that graveyard. And this lady is old enough, you might be able to unseat her from her position in life. Okay? You might be able to.
You will need,
but you need
power.
To. You need to.
I am so sorry.
No, go right ahead, hon.
Yeah. She needs the power of the graveyard for this work, Kat. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the reason why my spirit is bubbling up here, because I didn't say anything about the cards I have here in front of me. I did a four-card spread, and my personal conjure card, which has my Fiorma, Apollo Fiorma on here with the images of the Muerto and the spirits and so forth, is sitting in the path. And that is the indication of the type of juju that's been done to Conjure Moon and how it needs to be answered. It needs to be answered with the work that includes the spirits. And that's how she would get out of this, because the woman got your head. The woman got your hair some kind of way. I'm going to tell you this right now. Yeah, she got your hair. And that's why you're so foggy. You see, here's Mercury in Sagittarius here. That's the air sign, Mercury. You're saying you can't read, you can't see. Everything, things are out of focus for you. That's somebody that's really occluding your psychic senses, and they're doing it with a spirit being. Interestingly enough, I've been working with this week, and here it is on our very first call, Kat.
Well, you know, if people have asked, why would someone with the wisdom to do this bother doing this against a younger person? Well, the answer is greed, pure and simple, what I call the scarcity of resources model of thinking. They're both readers. This person doesn't want to lose any customers. She's likely to kill the person who's taken customers from her. That's just as simple a motivation as you'll find anywhere. Greed and business competition. I have been done dirty by other readers, and I've been done dirty by other root workers. And Dr. Keone, can I get a witness?
Amen. 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 Threefold amen.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, that's the reason for it. But I think we've given you some good stuff to work on. If you need a conjure doctor to help you to do this work, try any one of the people at AIR who's good. Dr. Keone would be a great helper in on this one. You also will need to have some protection while you do the work. Just look up the protection spells at Lucky Mojo, or go to the Lucky Mojo forum and ask for what are the best protection spells that are used while doing work against somebody. Now, and I want to make sure you understand what I mean by best while doing work against somebody. There's no one best protection spell. Some protection spells are just good, all around good. Some protection spells are good against family members that will harm you. Some protection spells are the best to use if you yourself are not doing so right and you want to be protected from the consequences. But what you need is the specific types of protection spells that are used when someone has already magically penetrated your defenses and has already thrown for you and has already hurt you. And one of the herbs used in that is agrimony, but there's some other things, you know. You know, there's different kinds of spells that are used for different forms of protection. Okay?
Okay, and I have all that written here. Was there, where Dr. Keone was talking about the spirits I need to work, was there a name of the spirit I need to work with or no? Did he say a name I missed? Muertos, or was it just any graveyard?
Muertos is the Spanish for the dead. Okay. He's talking about the spirits of the dead. You need a powerful dead spirit to help you. This person has a powerful dead spirit helping them. Am I correct, Dr. Keone?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So what I tell people is sometimes to go to a soldier spirit, but even better than a soldier is a family member of yours who has passed who was a soldier, because they got two reasons to fight for you now. They were a soldier, so they received training in fighting while alive, and they're your ancestor, and they will fight for you so that you can forward their DNA into the future. So there
you go.
Thank you. All right.
Yes.
Good luck to
you,
sweetheart.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, guys.
All
right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was area code 507, was it not?
570.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's turn our mic off. Okay. There we go. I think this is different. Yeah, there we go. All righty. New controls here. All right. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And it's brought to you every Sunday right here on blogtalkradio.com/LuckyMojoHoodooRootWorkHour, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. And I'm here, Dr. Keone, along with my co-host, Kat Ironwood from the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, and we're ready to take our next call. Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, sir, Dr. Keone. And our next caller is calling from area code 757. In Virginia.
Okay. Let me 757.
Yes, sir.
And we do have that person here in the queue. Okay, hey. Caller, are you here? Area code 757.
Hi, Dr. Keone. I am here. Hello, Ms. Kat.
Hi.
Hi.
How
are you? Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, and to you too. If you'll hold on for 1 second, please, Ms. Tammy is going to tell us about your call.
And Dr. Keone and Ms. Kat, this is Eileen. Yes, sir, can you hear me, sir? Dr. Keone?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you, wonderful. Dr. Keone and Ms. Kat, this is Eileen from JujuCentral.net, and she wants to tell, thank you both, Dr. Keone and Ms. Kat. You have both helped her a lot. She writes, I've been noticing since some random dress ended up on my front porch that my luck has gone downhill. My garden that I planted for my saints and my ancestors took a hit. My money is flying out of the bank, and I was hoping to get a chance to speak with you all today. I've been doing a lot of baths to break the jinx, and I've put up protection work, but I still seem to be affected.
All right.
Okay, so do you? I need to ask a couple of questions here. You said your garden took a hit. Now that's interesting.
Yes.
This was a garden you had planted to honor and also presumably work with herbs and plants, but also to honor your ancestors. Is that correct?
Yes, and my orishas as well, because I have received warriors and also I give offerings to Yamaya. So
I see.
In one particular section, it was like a big circle, and it just looked like it was shriveling, like it was dying. But none of the herbs were broken. It was very unusual.
Okay. All righty. So I'm going to throw down three cards on this and see what I have. Well, the first card I have indicates that there was someone who did this. And it's the Five of Swords. So this is a card of a person who's laughing while they're sending you away and making you drop your sword. Okay? They're making two people drop their sword. So they haven't only just done it to you. They've done it to someone else as well. Is there another friend of yours who may have received a similar problem?
Most likely my husband. Ever since I have gotten into a dispute with his sister, all of this stuff started happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, two people are injured here, and the person who's done the work has done this type of work before. They're holding three swords already that they've got from previous encounters with other people. Now, it's not necessarily the number three, but in other words, they're experienced. They have fought before, and now they're causing two people to drop their swords. It was not done to bloody you. It was done to send you away or to have triumph or victory over you. In other words, nobody's bleeding here, no one's dying, but they are being sent away in despair. It was done to cause you to feel despair. Okay?
Okay.
So, yes, it was actually done. The next card I have is a card that says to me that you have the way out kind of known already, but you just need to do it. In other words, you've called us and asked us, you know, what to do, but in some senses, you already know what to do. The card I have is the Empress. Now, you had just mentioned Yamaya, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at a card of a great mother here, okay? So I'm saying your appeal to either your physical mother or to Yamaya, or however you conceive that female mother energy, that's what's going to help you. Does that make sense?
That's interesting, because I just started offering to her. I started it Thursday, and it goes to her the following Thursday. Asking
all right.
Her
well,
all
then
right.
She...
I just wanted to make sure I was on it like that.
Well, here she is saying, hi, I'm here to help. And that's a very good card, okay? And I'm sorry, your phone is breaking up. I couldn't hear that. Could you repeat?
Do you hear me now? I said that's wonderful. I'm glad that came out.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Good. And the third card I have is a card that says that there's also a male figure who will protect you. And this is the Knight of Wands. Now, the Knight of Wands probably is not such a deific or sacred figure, more like a person. It could be a spirit of the dead, but it would not be a god, okay, because it's just a knight. Knight of Wands is a fellow who's returning. His card comes from the right to the left, comes back to help. And he helps with strength. He helps with fire. And he helps protect. So it says to me that there may be some root worker, or maybe it's your husband. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. It really does.
Okay. All
it
right.
Makes a lot of sense. I was a little cautious about doing, I was only taking baths and candles because the person I think that's doing it, she has a child. So I didn't want to be too vicious but I go back, even though they have, like, no consideration for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would keep with your non-viciousness. With Yamaya as your guiding light, you're never going to be vicious. You're always going to have that, you know, just the way you said that. She has a child, you see? That's a mother speaking. And so what you might want to do is a two fold approach. One, to try to restore harmony and balance, and the other, to put up some fierce protection. But
okay.
I would not attack at this time. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I would not attack, but I would put up a... I'm getting a lot of feedback on the phone. Are you, Dr. K?
I hear it. It's on her side, it appears.
All right. Should we mute her?
Okay, I think we will have to. We're going to have to mute your mic here, Eileen, and let's see if we will be able to. Okay, let's see. Is it gone?
Yeah.
It's just gone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's gone.
Okay. So let's just discuss if she can hear us.
I know who this person is. Yeah, I know who this person is. This is a client of mine. I've dealt with her on this situation, and you hit this right on, Kat, without any further information, that she does know what to do. Having the willpower to do it is the issue here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the use of the crucible of courage would be definitely appropriate here for her, because there are other people fighting, and she gets turned around very easily. Today she'll be in a fighting mood, and she'll be in the fighting mode. But tomorrow, 2 days later, or whatever, 3 days later, she's wanting to make up with an enemy or whatever, and these people are strangling her. Now, interestingly enough, I am using my crystal ball here that I got from you, and I used it on the last call, and I saw the muerto that was controlling this woman's head. I just used it on this call, and I see the spirit of her sister. The spirit of your sister is as black as tar. It is as black as tar. I saw the humanoid form in this crystal ball, black as tar, a woman's form, and it is her. And sweetening and all of that, Kat, I respectfully disagree. I don't think it's going to work. There is pure hatred here, and it is born out of a spirit of darkness. And so what is happening, although she may not need to attack aggressively, I think maybe she might need to, you might need to alter what we're telling her to do, because this is not pretty, and it's not going to stop.
Well, you know, it's funny. Now, you must be that Knight of Wands that I saw. That protector. See, I didn't know she was a client of yours. Isn't that interesting? So there you are, charging back on that beautiful horse, prettiest horse in the whole Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And and there you are, charging back on that horse. Well, the reason I mentioned that she should do more gentle things, she's right. The woman has a child. It would not sit well with her conscience. And what I've said, she needs a protector. So what I'm thinking is she needs to keep her hands clean for the sake of her sense of herself, and her sense of that child needs to not be hurt. You get where I'm going with this? This is a classic case of where you hire a root doctor to do the work, not because, hey, there's karma and you don't want the karma, but that because you just said it, she gets easily spun, that she wants to attack and then she wants to be gentle and, you know, make peace or not make peace or whatever. You know, she needs a helper on a big charging horse. That's you, or someone much like you. And since she's already your client, I would say that would be the way to go, that she needs someone to help to do the work for her. I don't think she's capable of doing any kind of serious or prolonged attack. Empress, it's a very passive woman, a gentle woman, you know.
I do agree.
Yeah. So that's what I would tell her, is hire Dr. Keone. You've already hired him to read for you, right? Hire him to work for you. And he can surgically strike, so to speak. And
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And get rid of the bad stuff and not hurt, no collateral damage. In other words, don't wipe out the woman's family, don't hurt the innocent child, but just remove that evil from the situation.
That's what has to be done. You're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because she's not going to feel right if she partakes in something that she considers hurtful. Yemaya will defend, obviously, but she's very much, you know, the way she's perceiving Yemaya is as a beautiful mother, and that's, you know, it's like the Empress again. It's, there's something there that's just, she is not going out to be, to kill. She can't do it. She can't, for one reason or another.
I got a good idea. Here's how we solve this. Because Yemaya is my mother. She's Madre de Aqua in Palo. And she has awesome power, as we know. All right. So we will send her on a 3-hour boat tour. Okay? And we will see that she gets lost on the island with Gilligan and the professor and never come back. We'll just wash her out of the sea. Okay? And we'll send her on a luxury cruise that is only one way. And that's what I see with the multiverse card in the future. There are many ways to deal with this woman and push her out of your life. Send her to a whole another planet of existence. All right. And it is not necessarily that you are taking a person's life here, but you are getting the person out of your life. This call, this show began with sweeping people out of your life. Are you listening, lady? And that's not going to hurt her. Okay? Sweep her out of your life. Dust that room with some sea salt to represent Yamaya. Mm-hmm. And sweep that woman out of your life. That's your sister. But ask Yamaya to wash her out of your life. Wash her out of your life. Even as water flow, so shall you must go. Take care of it. That's what I see. All right. I'm sorry. I got excited.
Well, that's really good. And using that salt, that's good. Sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
And people are asking in the chat room, who is Yamaya? Well, we put up some links, and I hope you all see. Thank you, Brother Vanderson. He found the link at readersandrootworkers.org. We have pages at the AIR website, because all of us who are readers and root workers who work with spirits, we want to have a quick way to teach our clients who these spirits are. So we have written web pages about the spirits of the dead, spirits of the crossroads, deities, saints. We have pages on Hindu gods and goddesses. The gods and goddesses of many different religions are up there. The Orishas are listed. The Nkisi, or spirits of, what are they called? Mpungos.
Mpungo, yes, Mpungo.
Right. And all of those have web pages at readersandrootworkers.org, and you can look them up and read about them so that if your root worker mentions them or works with them, then you'll know what they're talking about. Okay. All righty. Well, we have time for one more, and it's going to be up to Tammy Lee to find us somebody else to talk to.
No, we've got more than time for more than one. Okay.
No, I said it's time for Tammy Lee to find us someone to talk to, I said.
Oh, okay. All right. My bad.
Well, Dr. Keone and Ms. Kat, we have just about 40 minutes remaining in our wonderful show, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. And our next caller, Dr. Keone, is calling from area code 702 from Las Vegas, Nevada.
702 is not here. That person is not here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. We also have 678 from Duluth, Georgia, LaTanya.
678, we do have that caller. All right. Area code 678, Tanya, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, just a moment, please. Miss Tammy.
Yes, sir, Dr. Keone and Miss Kat. LaTanya writes, I'm needing help with contacting my ancestors. I also want to know what my gifts are and how do I find out about what my spiritual gifts are, if any. I've never had a reading or root work from Dr. Keone or Miss Kat before. And there she is.
Okay. Welcome to the show, LaTanya.
Hi. So let me ask a little bit more about you. You want to do ancestor work. There's a number of ways to go about it. So I'm going to ask a few questions, just practical questions, as if you were just standing here in front of me. This is the questions that were asked of me when I was a young woman, and I wanted to know about ancestor work, and I asked a gentleman who owned a candle shop, much like the candle shop that I own. I said, well, what can I do? And he said, well, do you know where your people are buried? That's the first question he asked me. So that's the first question I'm going to ask you. Do you know where your people are buried?
Yes, some of them.
Some of them. Can you go there?
Yes.
All right. Well, good. We're on a good roll. When I had to answer no to both of those questions, and he had to kind of scratch his chin a little, you know. If you know where they are buried and you can go to where they are, the next question he asked me was, well, do you have any photos of them or anything
yes.
that any of them once owned? You do?
Yes.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you see where we're going here. It says ancestor work is really of the world. It's a very practical thing. You can do it with visualization, with nothing, but we don't. We try to be it's grounded in the earth. These were ancestors in life on the earth, and we try to contact them that way. All right, so what I would do is start with getting together some of the items that you're going to put on that in that space. It doesn't have to be an altar. It can just be on a mantelpiece. It can be on a windowsill. It can be on top of your bureau. Get some photos together of some of those people. If they were ancestors who you were uncomfortable with, if there was somebody who was mean to you in life, don't put them on for now. No, you don't have to force yourself to put them all on there. They need to be people who you were well connected with. If there's part of your line that you don't have contact with, let's say a certain member of the family or their ancestors who you never knew, put up something to represent them. You can go back as far as you can. This is one of the reasons that a lot of people work with Black Hawk in the African-American tradition. Black Hawk is allowed to stand in for unknown Native American ancestors whom many, if not most, black people have. And so you just use the spirit of Black Hawk as a stand-in, as it were. Does that make sense to you so far?
Yes.
All right. Now you're going to go and you're going to start by talking to them a little, saying, you know, I'd like to honor you, and then you're going to go to visit their graves, okay? Now, if you knew about them and knew what they liked and stuff, bring them some offerings of what they liked. If they liked to smoke a pipe of tobacco, if they liked flowers, if they liked whatever. But in any case, we always also bring money. It's a very traditional offering. Sometimes people say, well, what would you give money to a spirit of a baby, and baby don't know what money is? Yes, you would, but you might also give the baby a little bit of hard candies to suck on. If it was an old grandmother, would you give your grandmother money? Yes, you would, but you might also give her some perfume or some flowers. You see? In other words, the money is a kind of a very traditional link. It only needs to be 3 coins. And you're going to do that and take some of their graveyard dirt. Spend some time talking to that spirit. Grandmother, I want you to watch over me. I want you to be with me. You know, there are so many things that I never got to ask you about, and I want you to help me. Come to me in dreams. You're going to spend time talking to that spirit on the grave. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Then you bring that dirt home. And you say, I'm going to bring this dirt home because I invite you to my home. I invite you to come to my home. And you want a little container for that dirt. It can be a small. Some people will use the little fanciest little Limoges, you know, porcelain containers or little cloisonné containers. Some will use a dish that belonged to grandmother, a little covered dish that she kept her candies on the coffee table. Well, you just put whatever you got, you'll know when it's right. You see what I'm saying? You'll know if it's right. And they won't all necessarily all be the same. Some people, and I know some people, will take all the dirt from all their ancestors and put it into one pot. That's a different way to work. I am not here to say which one is the best. I'm just here to say I've seen it both, and that's how it is. But some will put each little one before each picture. Okay? And then when you have that, you think about it, but don't just rush it through them all. I'm going to meet great-grandfather first. Great-grandfather, you were only alive until I was 7, and I knew you very little, but I do remember your boots, because I was so little. I remembered you let me step on your boots, and then you walked me around holding my hands. I remember that. And that's really, I don't remember your face. I have a photo. I never really looked into your face, but I do remember your boots. Just to tell them what you remember. Now, great-grandfather, I wish you would come to me and tell me more and help me more.
Right? Okay.
Now, you can light candles on this ancestor altar, and you can also put out glasses of water. And you can work with statuary, as I mentioned, Black Hawk. If you have Native American ancestors and don't know who they are, just put up Black Hawk statue. Some people will put up an African statue. You know, if your family came from Africa, you know that sometime they were African. There are beautiful statues you can get. It could be a tribal piece, or it could be a more modern piece just showing African people. Just a, you know, one of those nice gift store statues. Sometimes people put up a family. There's one that we have in our shop. It's a beautiful statue, just very simple, very cheap, but nicely made. It's a man and a woman and a baby, and they're African people. And that's very obviously what they are. Put that up. I can only trace my ancestry back so far. I need to go that back the farther. In my case, For instance, I might put up something having to do with ancient Jewish culture, you see? And I would say, okay, I'm going to put up a statue of, you know, get a picture of King David or King Solomon, as someone conceived them. No one knows what they look like, but I'm going to put up a picture of King Solomon. I'm going to say, that's my ancestor, because he is, you see? And then you can call on the most far distant ancestors, all right? All right,
okay.
I've spoken my piece. Now, with the water, I will say, put out water to honor them. And also, when you want to call on them for special needs, it's always good to give an offering. And you can give offerings at their grave, too. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now let's hear what Dr. Keone has to say, because I know he's going to say other things.
Well, my dear friend, thank you, Kat. You are trying to work with someone specific, aren't you?
Yes.
In the family. Mm-hmm. This is a female. She died tragically, did she not?
Yes, my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw her. It's funny how I've never used a crystal ball in my life, and it's like I'm riding a bicycle. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. I see it. I mean, it just comes into focus. And the cards augment what I am saying here. I see this. She is around you, baby girl. And I don't know if you know that and if you're trying to verify that she's around you. But she is around you. And there's a real strong reason why you need to get it, really establish working with her. Someone... there's harm, there's danger around you, LaTanya. There's danger. And I believe that she is going to help you get around that danger, because I see almost similar tragedies. You know, the same thing that happened to her could also happen to you. Am I making any sense to with you, what I'm telling you?
Yes, you are. A lot of sense.
Talk to me. Talk to me, baby, and
okay,
and
well, I was
tell
adopted.
Our audience what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I was adopted, and I just found out last year that my mother was murdered. I never seen her, never knew who she was until last year. I received a letter in the mail from a guy who they say my adopted parents told me that they were. He was my father, and I mean, I looked at, you know, I went through the autopsy, and I seen everything of how she was murdered. She was beaten, she was smothered, and she was dumped on the side of the road. A couple of weeks ago, I had a dream that I was at my bar, and she was standing there, but she wasn't saying anything. She was just looking at me. And as I looked over to my sofa, it was like other people there, but they was just looking at me, and I'm like, you know, I didn't understand it.
Wow, that gives me chills.
Mm-hmm.
Because these cards tell me that, first of all, this is the Daughter of Cups here for connections, and there's a lot of water on this card. So we know that we're trying to make an emotional connection by this body of water. The daughter is riding on the back of a hard shell turtle, a sea turtle, and she has dolphins around her, and there's a rainbow in the distance over an island, and it's she looks like she's trying to get to a destination, and she's crossing. So this is all like a pleasant journey, you see. So you're trying to contact someone with whom you've had pleasant emotional experiences with and have talked about dreams and aspirations and hopes and things like that. But this Eight of Cups here, Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, told me that tragedy happened to this woman. You see. And by the way, the hangman is reversed in the past there. So that told me also about her being sacrificed almost. It almost, that's what it felt like. It was like it was a
sacrifice.
Oh, my
God.
You see. And, okay, I'm going to ask you to tell me why you say that in just a moment. And then the Ten of Swords is in the outcomes. And all of these swords are sticking into a person. And this is betrayal. This is Sun in Gemini energy. And what I saw here in this crystal ball was a storm, a huge, black, massive storm. form, enlightening, flashing from it, which told me that something very ominous happened to this person, and then I turned the cards. Now tell me why you say, oh my God, to what I've just said to you.
Because, it's a lot of things that have been going on dealing with my adoption, and no one is trying to tell me the truth from my adopted parents, you know, and it's a lot of people hiding things. People come up missing when they try to help me find out about my biological family. I started a book on my mother regarding just the information, the little information I had. And I was doing it like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was like things were coming to me. This was before I found out, you know, the information about my mom. And I was also told by another person that she knew too much, and a lot of people in the family wanted money, and she was sacrificed for that purpose.
Mm. 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 My Lord, my Lord. Mm. Well, what Kat has told you to do, first of all, I'm sorry for all of this pain in your life, but what Kat is telling you to do, to contact the ancestors, is something that you need to do. Do it exactly as she's told you to do it. Now, do you know where her grave is?
No, I know about it, but I haven't been there yet.
Okay. If you can get to her grave, if you can go to her grave, you will need to do some things to help her spirit. And I would say to you at that time that you might want to call us at that time when you're preparing for that trip, and we can talk more specifically about that. One would be dousing the headstone, if it's a stone headstone, with Florida water and setting it on fire. It's one of the things that I'm being shown that you would need to do. She needs assistance, even though she's here working with you and to help you from meeting the same fate. She also wants to move on, so there's some things that need to be done in preparation to help her. Now, Kat, what remedies do you suggest when dealing with spirits who are remaining behind to help us, but who, after they have learned their job, want to move on?
Well, you know, I tell spirits who have been around me is, you're welcome here. I'm not one of those people who seeks to have spirits move on, nor to have them stay. If they are here to communicate with me, I've invited them. There's something to be passed on. That's how I am. You see what I'm saying? There are people who do function according to certain rules. Oh, you know, that spirit, just to give an example, that spirit died tragically, and we're going to get that spirit to be solve that and move on. They might not want to move on. They might want to stick around and watch their great-grandchildren play, you know? And I'm not here to tell people what to do. But I would say that you want to get to the place, though, that when you think of her and when you contact her, that you're contacting a spirit that is aware of what has happened and is at peace and is a helpful spirit. There are the spirits of those who have been murdered, often are not comfortable spirits to have around, even if they are your relatives, because they're sort of in a pain situation. They cannot help or contribute to your life, and in fact they can become a drain because they want attention paid to them to try to get them out of the situation of pain that they're in. So you need to work with spirits who are at peace. And so the first thing, what Dr. Keone talked about, was that he sees that there's a way that he would like you to prepare for the journey to get her graveyard dirt and to work with it a little different than the general way I was describing, which would work for all of ancestors, but that there are certain things more to be done with her because of the special circumstances of her having been a murder victim. Another thing I would say, just as a spirit worker who has worked with spirits of the dead for a long time, One of the things that those who die unfortunately young often wonder about is events that they would have witnessed had they still had their natural lifespan. In other words, someone who died in the 1700s, let's say they died in 1750, they were 20 years old and they were killed. Their natural lifespan from 1720 might have been till, say, 1790 or 1800. They will have an interest in the events that they missed, but they'll also understand that what happened long after that they wouldn't have seen. And those who died during your lifetime, in this case your mother, will want to know, will need to know everything that happened to you, because that's the stuff that she would have witnessed had she lived. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So one of the ways of helping to heal her is to bring her literally scrapbooks of what you've done, scrapbooks of your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Sit at the altar, literally. This was my first boyfriend. This was my husband. Look, here are my three children. Introduce them to her. All the things that, because she would still be alive now had she not been murdered. And so all of those things she needs to be brought to understand. And you often will find, we talk about spirits moving on, you often will find that a spirit, as the generations succeed, their connection is more tenuous. Nobody maybe remembers them as well, and they don't feel as connected to their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. But sometimes they do. And sometimes these people will come from holy way back. I mean, they'll just, you know, like, hi, I'm Uncle Joe from the 1253. <You know? laughs> Here I am. And you just go, welcome, Uncle Joe. And we'll tell you what's going on now. Here's our story in progress, you know. But a spirit of those who have been murdered requires special healing and helping services. And one of the best things to do is to show them, literally sit at the altar with their picture or their name or whatever represents them and say, you know, are you here? Can you hear me? This is the story of what's happened since you left us. And tell them, and not all in one session. This is going to take a while, okay? It's going to take a while. You'll basically be telling your whole life, you know, and you can speak to her. You can say, you know, and then I went to kindergarten. The kindergarten I went to was such and such, and oh, I wish you could have seen it. Involve her spirit. I wish you could have seen it, Ma. You know, it was a big old brick building, and the teacher was so scary at first, but later she turned out to be nice, or whatever happened, you know. Or I hated that school, and it was a horrible stucco building, and I just hated every day I went there, and I wish you could have been there and could have transferred me to another school. But whichever way your life is, you tell the truth, and you'll hear her comment along the way. She might say, oh, if I had been there, I would have transferred you to another school. Or if it was a good situation, she might say things like, oh, that's nice, I'm so glad, you know. But you'll be dialoguing with the spirit of your mother. Trust me, you will be talking to the dead very soon.
Okay, can I say something? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was also told by a Mason, I don't know if you guys know too much about it, but that you guys are right. Yeah, my life is in danger, and it has something to do with them and my mom and my adopted
parents. Wait a minute, are you saying you were told by a member of the Freemasonic Order that your life is in danger?
Yes.
And is that person a reader or a root worker or just an average Freemason? I mean, Freemason
is just a friend of mine.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. It sounds like that person may have a gift. But the fact that they're a Freemason, if I may just be so bold to be very honest here, I'm a member of a Comasonic Lodge, and I know many, many Freemasons. Freemasons come as varied and as similar to everybody you know. There are used car salesman Freemasons, and there are mystical Freemasons. There are Freemasons who can read cards and read a crystal ball, and there's Freemasons who go fishing. So Freemasonry is not one thing. It's, you know, it's a lodge system that makes good men better, and if it's co-masonry, it makes good women better too. And the fact that the person who told you was a Freemason, that's just on the side. It could have been a Unitarian. You see what I'm saying? It could have been a man from a gas station. And people who see things tell you life is in danger, all right. But I do not believe, if you're trying to imply that the Freemasons go around killing people, we're going to cut this call off right away because that's defamation of character of a noble.
No, because adopted family are, they are Masons and Eastern Stars.
I was getting a little paranoid. Forgive me. I was getting a little paranoid there. Because
yeah,
I've had people,
hear that
we've had
guy.
People. Well, all right, we've had people call us before, and, you know, the Freemasons are after me, and I'm like, oh, what next, you know? But the fact that the person who told you was a Mason, they do receive, I mean, Masons do, we all do, who are in that large system, whether co-Masonry or Freemasonry or Eastern Star, we do receive some training and understanding of the occult and of spiritual matters. It's a very
right.
godly system, and I would take that, seriously, I would also ask that person if they know any help that you can find, because one of the things that Freemasons are vowed to is to help and aid others.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
I have a question for you, caller, before we let you go here, and it's been a really good call, and thank you for sharing your concerns with us. This is LaTanya, right? Okay.
Yes.
And yes. Was your mother, where was her body found here? Was she found near water or in water? Where was she found?
She was in water. It was water near her.
Uh-huh. What, outside? Outside?
Yes.
That's
and it was like a block away from my adopted parents, where I used to live.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's why the use of fire is called for when you go to raise her. Fire trumps water in this particular situation, you see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to dry her out.
Okay.
Just to kind of put it like that, okay, maybe a little bit of safety there. We've got to dry her out. But that's why. And I saw that there, and I wanted to verify that I was reading that correctly. I don't mind being told that I missed it, but, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Do let us know how things are going for you and how we can assist you in this quest, okay?
Okay, I sure will, and thank you so very much.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Good luck to you.
God bless you now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye. Wow.
Bye-bye.
What an interesting call, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that was interesting.
Yes. Well, let's go to our next call. We have time. Tammy Lee?
Yes, sir, Dr. Keone. Our next caller, and I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties on my end, but our next caller is Celestine, calling from area code 252 in North Carolina.
Okay, 252 in North Carolina, Celestine. We do have her here. Hello. Celestine. Hi,
can you hear me?
Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. Yes, we can hear you. Just a moment, please. Miss Tammy.
Yes, sir, Dr. Keone and Miss Kat. And Celestine basically has a question regarding her mate, and will she find her mate? And that's...
Also on there is a spiritual family.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand the question. You want to know if you'll find your mate, and then you said something about a spiritual family?
Being
yes, that was the... Right. I'm new to this spiritual awareness, and would like to have a spiritual family. And I just actually threw in... And possibly my mate would be in that quest as well.
I see. So you're looking, you're trying to find your mate through spiritual means. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so it would have to be someone who understands.
Right. I recall receiving communication from you. In fact, I read it today, Celestine, about this. And so what she's saying is she wants to find a spiritual mate, hopefully within a community of spiritual believers in you know that is on the same path as she's on. So I think that pretty much is the synopsis of her call. Okay.
I see. All right. Well, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Have you ever had a mate before?
Yes.
Good. that's an important question. So you know what you're looking for. In other words, when somebody tells me, well, I've never had a mate before, now I want one, I'm like, that's a little more difficult to answer. So you know generally what you're looking for. What sign of the zodiac are you, dear?
Libra.
A Libra. Ah, lovely Libras. The most charming and pleasing sign of the zodiac. They also have the most trouble making up decisions, but we forgive them for that because they're so pleasing. Do you have trouble making decisions?
That's correct.
Hey, my daughter is a Libra, and she would be biting my head off now if she was listening to this radio show. Because, Mom, you always say that about me that I have to... But it's true. On the other hand, they are such good diplomats, and they so well bring many people into the fold because they are able to reach people on so many different levels. They're very diplomatic people. I love Libras. All right. So one of the things that I have done in my life has been alone a few times, and I have perfected, I would say, strategies for finding people through spiritual means. Why have I found them through spiritual means? Because I have low vision and can't drive a car. I am also one of those, I guess you could call this fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, one of those fortunate or unfortunate people, most of us of Jewish descent, who cannot metabolize alcohol. If I drink alcohol, I fall asleep, so I can't go to a bar. Right? So I can't drive and I can't go to a bar. How am I going to meet somebody? Only way I know how is to pray. Right? And I have worked out strategies for bringing people to me. Well, one way that I recommend is that you work with some, I would call it a deific spirit, whether it's God or goddess as you conceive that being, and ask that the help of the Most High, whoever is the Most High in your system of belief. And I'm not going to ask you what is your religion, but you know in your heart what I'm talking about. So I would ask that being, please, to help. That's very important. It's the first most important thing. The next thing is to start working with ideas of what you want that person to be like. You can write them down. You can cut and clear from a past bad mate and make a list of new qualities of someone good if you'd like to do cut and clear work. But if you're not coming down from a bad situation, you just need to find a new person, just make a list of those good things and keep them in your mind. Put that list somewhere safe in your underwear drawer is always good. And list on it the spiritual qualities that you want that person to have. And then start working with drawing that person to you. I've used many different things. Candle magic, I've used sex magic, I've used lodestones, and I've used a combination of any two or all three of those. The most effective for me has been a combination of all three. Candle, lodestones, and sexual magic at the same time. Your mileage may vary and may differ. And the lodestone spells on how to do this, you take one lodestone, name it for you. You take another lodestone, name it my future husband or my perfect mate or whatever, and you're going to bring them closer and closer and closer, and you feed them with magnetic sand as you do so. The candle magic, you light a candle and you pray for them to come. I've also done it where I've been inside of a triangle of three candles and done it. But you can combine the two lodestones and a candle to make a triangle and put that on your altar. As for the sexual magic part of it, if you are interested in that aspect of it, and some people don't care if their mate has a sexual component to it or not. That's their personal choice. But if you do, then you might want to arouse yourself sexually and use that visualization process and that sexual energy to anoint those lodestones in that candle. And there's many ways to do it. I'm not going to get too specific here on the radio. Okay. And so those are my basic ideas. Now, you talked about a spiritual community. Do you know what community that is?
Well, no, because I'm very, very new. I'm just learning how to even get in touch with my ancestors. And, you know, all that is well and good, but, you know, we also need our physical beings that's here on this earth as well. So in my area, there's not really many people. It's like a Bible Belt area. So, you know, it's not a lot of people that's open to spirituality in this way.
Well, you know, the first thing you can do is thank God that you live in the time that the Internet exists. I would never have met my husband except for the Internet. I mean,
right.
You know, thank God for the Internet. There are spiritual communities. There are forums. There are groups for almost every interest, whether it's Christian, whether it's Hindu, Wiccan, whether it's occultism, whether it's conjure practice, spiritual, occult. There are forums and groups for every one of them. Make a name for yourself and use it and post, and you'll be able to attract the people you want. When you go to post, put a little bit of love oils on yourself and on your fingers as you go to type on your keyboard and say, I'm going out in public through the Internet to meet someone. And it's just as if you'd gotten in a car and drove someplace. If you, there is forums for people who are gay, forums for people who are straight. There are forums for people who are naked nature worshipers. Find a forum that represents the form of spirituality that you like and start posting. Don't use some crazy screen name that'll drive people away from you, like, you know, satanic death to all who read my posts. I mean, you know, but use a name that describes you as you are, and makes you be, you know, seem appealing. And there are some oils I would use. Come to me, kiss me now, fast luck, attraction, and those are good ones, you know, to help.
I like Look Me Over.
Look Me Over. Very good. Very good one, yeah. So, Dr. K, we got a couple minutes. Your turn. What would you
say? Yes, I see this man, and you like a man who wears a uniform very nicely, do you not? Has a little bit of authority to him. Hmm?
Well, you're probably seeing me because I wear a uniform with authority.
Do you have the badge? I see someone with the badge.
Yes, sir. Me.
What do you do, girl?
I'm an officer.
Oh my God, I saw it. Oh, Jesus, that scares me.
Good for it. That's
so, but the thing is, I see someone who's doing. I see a man with a badge. It's like the person is already around you, but your eyes are closed to it.
Well, my father used to be a deputy sheriff. He's gone.
We ain't talking about you fucking your daddy, okay?
No, I know. But that's the only man I know.
I'm gonna step in here. If you don't know him now, when you meet him, you will either meet him through someone who also, you know, is in a uniform, or he will be someone like in a uniform. That's what Dr. K, I think.
Emperor. Here he is, the emperor, and
the emperor,
saw him. I saw him in this doggone big bubble sitting here in front of me, okay? Big glass bubble.
Okay.
I saw him with his gun and with a badge. That was a man. He didn't have no titties. He wasn't a woman, okay?
Okay.
He was a man.
Okay. I just don't make sure you weren't seeing me.
Knowing someone in a similar profession, whether he's a police officer or an FBI agent or whatever, he is someone who carries authority is the point, and the emperor is his card. So you're going to meet him. I see some aggressive work needing to be done, Kat, by this lady.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to do the work you're telling her to do, and she needs to do it hard, and she needs to do it fast. That's what
mm-hmm.
I say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The alchemy card is reversed in the present, which means taking all symbols, systems of spirituality and conjure and tying them together. But you start with one, which here you are with hoodoo, and you do the things the cat is telling you. And you will, this man, you'll see him. you'll see him. Your eyes will be open and his eyes will be open. He's right there around you.
Cool. So that I can be sure and clear, is there a link that I can also see of the of doing the spiritual work?
Well, you know, you might want to do something like join the Lucky Mojo forum and ask for suggestions. We're almost out of time now. We really got to close up the show.
Okay.
But
I have joined.
But yeah. Oh, good. Well, then just say I'm looking for the man in uniform, and we'll know who you are.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And we'll give you some more advice. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. And I was lucky today because I didn't think I was getting on, but thank you.
Yeah.
All right. You go get your boy in uniform now, girl.
Hey, I'm coming with guns loaded.
All right. Get the handcuffs. Get the blindfold.
They're hot and ready.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour for the past hour and a half, brought to you every Sunday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. It's brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company and LuckyMojo.com and DrKeone.com. We thank you for being with us. And you can listen to the repeat of this show in about 45 minutes' time right here on Blog Talk Radio and download it to your iTunes and MP3 players, et cetera. Kat, it's been a blast.
It's been wonderful. Thanks a lot, Dr. K. See you all next week.
And thank you for this big glass bubble. I love it.
You're doing good with it.
Good
you
night.
Got it. All right, good
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I do. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye.